Well, good morning to you again. Welcome to 99.3 Nigeria Info. This is Dailies Today at the second half, and we're live on Facebook and YouTube on Nigeria Info 99.3. You can join us there and watch the show right now. Jimidiso joins me. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. Good morning, baby. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Let's pay some bills, right, before we get into the stories, and then we'll be just right back.
Make you join the Obunge Yellow Awoof giveaway. The jollificate with extra 500% bonus anytime when you recharge with 100 naira or more on top MTN Better Talk. And if you like everyday Awoof, Nastar 888 hash, you go take recharge to enjoy 600% Awoof bonus on top MTN Awoof for you. And enjoy 700% extra bonus every time when you recharge 100 naira or more on top MTN Yafu Yafu. So turn up Awoof with the burst brain.
Everywhere you go, MTN.
You know that feeling when you keep downloading and streaming interesting videos, but your mind keeps whispering,
"Continue! Your pockets go here, am."
But not anymore. When you subscribe to MTN's affordable and reliable monthly data bundles, you will enjoy 10 gigabyte with just 3,000 naira and 20 gigabyte for 5,000 naira only. Plus, a whopping 4 gigabyte free to stream YouTube videos on your reliable data network. Simply dial *131# hash to select. And turn up your affordable data plan on MTN. Terms and conditions apply.
Everywhere you go, MTN.
Well, I guess we started our own review from here. Well, join us on Facebook and YouTube. Let's get started with this one from The Punch today. NBA Sans say Lai's response on NSAS report premature. Here's from The Punch today.
Well, there's no letting off the Minister for Information on the gaffe that he made yesterday. Very embarrassing. And joining the fray, joining the group of those who are condemning what he went about yesterday, as the NBA and some senior advocates of Nigeria, let's take some of it. The publicity secretary of the NBA, Rapulu Unduka, says that from all indications, the Minister of Information has always given the impression that this event never took place, and that is the impression that most people are giving from day one. I was not there. So many people are also not there. The judicial panel was set up to uncover the truth. It is only normal that we depend on the outcome of the panel to know what truly happened. Then he drops the big clangor. Condemning the report even before the issuance of the white paper shows that the government is not open-minded and does not want to know the truth about what happened and the toll gate. If Feda Yadidikwe, SAN, said that the minister is in, that the comment of the minister is insulting, he's borrowing my words, to the honorable men and women who sat on the panel. That's exactly, those were my words yesterday. I think I should sue Adedipe for copyright. That's a joke. And he says that the response of the federal government is premature and prejudicial. If the panel was set up, the law expects that the white paper be issued, and so on and so forth. Michael Zekome, SAN, in a separate interview with The Punch, tagged the minister as a propagandist. And he says what they have done, meaning what the federal government has done, is to bias the mind of the Lagos State government on its expected white paper. This has already given the implication that the result of the white paper might not work. And then he goes on to say, meanwhile, what did you expect from the minister? He speaks for a government without integrity, honor, and dignity. Even if their fingers are caught red-handed in the cookie jar, they will still deny it. They denied eyewitness accounts by Amnesty International, CNN, BBC, VOA, and so on and so forth. So you have that reaction. Those are the reactions that we have. But meanwhile, we have a reaction in an interview granted the Vanguard.
This is from Agbakoba.
Yes, from Olisa Agbakoba. It's a full-page interview, quite interesting. He talks a bit about a political solution to the Nnamdi Kanu issue. I don't want to go there, but let's spend the whole of the morning talking about that. So he's asked the question, Olisa has asked this question. What are your views on the Lagos NSAS panel report and the controversy? And he says, I'm reluctant to make comment on the report because it has not been officially released and the Lagos State government has not officially adopted the report. So it is not helpful to talk about what has not become public. What is in the public domain is clear. There was an NSAS protest, which though was short-lived, but got the attention of the president and led to setting up of the panel. And he's asked again, so far not much is known about the NSAS panel reports in other states because they have not been critically officially released. Is government's practice of reviewing the reports of a panel before making them public right? Meaning, is it right for the government to, as it is doing now, to review the report of a panel that the government itself set up? And this is what Olisa Agbakoba, SAN, says. He says, I don't think the practice is right. I am not happy that after a report has been submitted to Governor Sanwo-Olu, he then set up a committee to review the report. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. The panel was set up by him to look at what happened, and the panel made findings. I do hope that the governor means well when he said in due time the report will be released. I will, however, be disappointed if the findings of the panel are reversed because Justice Okuobi sat as a court of first instance. It was a judicial panel. Mm. As a court, no, I don't think any of us picked that yesterday. He sat as a court of first. She heard the evidence of the witnesses, not the governor. So if, for instance, the panel said the army and police were liable for the killings at the toll gate, I would be disappointed if the governor and the white paper were now to say we won't accept it. That would certainly create a problem. That is why the proper way that panels work abroad is that when a finding is made, the government accepts it. They don't review it. I don't know why this practice was developed in Nigeria. So that's, it's quite significant that he doesn't even believe in reviewing it. You set up a panel, you should jolly well just adopt what the panel says. Then there is this crucial one that I'd like all of you to listen to. It's very, very crucial. And Olisa and I must have been drinking from the same bottle of wine. He says, he is asked, what is your view on the subtle threat by the US to sanction Nigeria if serious actions are not taken on the panel report? And just like I think he says, international diplomacy and politics is very deceitful. Very deceitful. He says, as an international affairs specialist, I can tell you that the comments made by the international community are for their own interests. If they have a self-interest to promote, you see them take a position contrary to what they have taken elsewhere. Okay? So he says that the statement by the US on this matter is hypocritical. The resolution of the United Nations on the two-state solution on the Palestine matter remains unfulfilled. The issues in North Korea and Iran are clear dominant matters that they should focus on more than what is happening in Nigeria. These are my thoughts, almost exactly mine. These are my thoughts. Nigerians need to find what is our own interest in our own matters. What is our own interest in other matters? Always put the interests of your country first. What they're doing is right. It's called self-interest. What are we doing? We are always quick. I will never forget the most embarrassing moment. A senator of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, when there was some problem in the National Assembly, the first thing he would say was, oh, I picked up my phone and I called the American ambassador. Very, very sad. But let's see. Yeah, so that's where we're at this morning on the issue of the NSAS report, which has not been made public.
I'm still looking at details of, you know, how judicial panels work. I know we've talked about that on Nigeria Info before, but we'll delve into that in detail at 8 o'clock today. All right, let's see this story. We had a version of this yesterday we couldn't touch. There was a headline yesterday where some traditionalists say that culture is being trampled on, something like that.
There was the Alaafin of Oyo.
We couldn't get to that story. There's a similar one today in the Vanguard. It's called the Southwest Voice. War of the Gods. Oluwa dares Osun traditionalists. Only God determines kings, not Ifa. Monarch insists. Well, the Oluwa has been caught. quite a person of the news.
Yes. Okay. So what is happening is that there's a clash going on between the traditionalists and the Oluwo of Iwo, which is surprising, because the Oluwo of Iwo, as the Oluwo, is the custodian of our traditional religions and practices.
Which I assume is also clear. A traditionalist.
So he's also a traditionalist. So it's a contradiction. I've always said that the Oluwo needs to make up his mind if he wants to be an evangelist or he wants to be an Oba. You cannot be the two. Okay, so now the traditionalists are pitted against him. Okay, and they've set up some organization called Traditional Religion Worshippers Association in Iwo. And the chairman said that the Oluwo of Iwo has gone further to utter unguarded statements against the traditionalists, capable of inciting members of the public against traditionalists, which can lead to breakdown of law and order. And they have threatened to march publicly to his palace. And he more or less is saying that, well, he'll be ready, and I'd advise him not to. I think elders, older Obas and whatever, need to move in very quickly. It serves all of us right. It serves all of us right, because the process by which Obas are appointed or whatever in the first place has been compromised. And this is what you get. It's not only Iwo that you have this problem. It's across Yoruba land now. The in thing now is for Ifa to be guided by monetary and political considerations, which is very sad. Part of the problem we have as Nigerians generally, and the black man across the world, is that we have an identity crisis amongst ourselves, and money and wealth has become king over us. The other day I was thinking, I'm a TikTok fan. I'm almost a TikTok addict.
Oh, you are.
TikTok. I love TikToks. The TikToks that you find coming from, to put it bluntly, sorry to say this, that you find coming from white folks and Europeans and whatever, are intellectual things, watching animals, nature, and so on. The TikToks that you see of most of Africans and Instagram and so on is of boasting about Rolls Royces, wealth, this and that, and power, and so on and so forth. We have an identity problem, and compromise and whatever is exactly what is going to lead. Look at it. Can you imagine if traditionalists, being threatened virtually by an Oba that they should have appointed in the first place, but they compromised it. Now it's going to happen. They say that they're demanding that the state governor should compel Oluwo to apologize, failing which they will march against him. And they put the date that on the 30th of November 2021, they stage a 1 million Olorisha worshippers march onto Iwo land to protest and ask that Oluwo be removed. I think the state government should move in quickly, and maybe in the first instance tell the Oba to step aside.
What I see happening here,
yes,
is possibly that cultures are changing, things are changing. The moment we moved the appointment of Obas into the jurisdiction of the government, I mean, the Oba is under the local government. I'm not even sure that Ifa chooses an Oba for us here in the Southwest. The local government, the government does.
You see, laws are not bad. It's the practitioners. Laws are just meant to guide. They have to put Obas under some political dispensation, or else that institution will suffer. Fair enough. But it doesn't. The fact that they are under the local government doesn't make them lesser. The whole idea is for administrative reasons. In reality, the process of choosing the Obas should be left for the traditionalists. But they themselves have compromised.
If I recognize this dollar, if I recognize this
pounds, if I recognize the alerts.
Oh yeah.
Yes. And it is not the only place I can think of. I'm not saying that exists in my mind, where there are no compromises. You can't alter anything. Is in a place like Benin.
Yeah.
It's very straightforward.
And worry. I saw that there are kings.
Well, I don't know about worry. I know there was some
installation of the
Oluwo. I think worry have traditional houses and so on. In Benin is straight up. One line. The person who's going to be the Oba, next Oba, is already known. It's called the Daikin. It's kept in one place in Uselu, and the Oba must never set eyes on him. Correct me if I'm wrong. Yes, till he dies.
I'd
like to be corrected. Yes.
Wow.
He can't set eyes on him. It's the moment a prince is born, they know. You see, if we don't stick to our traditions, we can't make progress. The Chinese, as progress as much as they are progressing, they still speak Chinese.
Yeah, that's correct.
We have lost our identity. And we have sold our souls both to the devil and to money.
Okay.
And so that's the consequences that you have now. But the Oba says that he doesn't want to join issues with the group, and that he says that they are not the authority on traditional issues. On November 30, we will know who the authority is.
But who is the authority on traditional issues if the traditionalists aren't?
The traditionalists are, and he's supposed to help them. He should do the honorable thing and go to and become an evangelist. I have nothing wrong with his religious inclination. I'm a Christian, fair enough. But I like to give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what
fair.
Is God's.
Fair is fair.
You cannot probate and reprobate. It's not possible.
Fair is fair.
It's not advisable. Fair is fair.
All right, let's go on to this very sad story. Niger Delta activist Tony Oranta is dead. It's across many papers this morning.
Yes, I decided not to start today's whatever with mourning again. I don't know what it is about death. Every day now, somebody, I don't know whether it's because of my age or what, you know, or it's a sign of the times. It was sad yesterday and a great shock. When I say a great shock, because it came out of the blue. To hear that Tony Oranta died. Tony Oranta was an activist that everybody knew. I knew him way back long before then. My first contact with Tony Oranta was in 1967. And the major regret that I have is I never got permission from him to tell his story, either for him to tell the story or for someone, because it's the story that would have inspired the youth that in life there are highs and lows. I can tell you authoritatively without going into details that my friend Tony Oranta experienced the greatest highs and the greatest lows, and he fought again and found himself again in public reckoning. His story is very motivating. His story is sad. His story serves as a warning to young people, you know, but it also serves as an inspiration to young people. Tony fought all his life. I can tell you this. He fought all his life. And maybe by the time I meet members of the family, maybe his children, they might permit one or two of us to tell his story, because it will be an inspiration to other people. Tony died, I think Tony must have been about, it doesn't talk about his age here, but he must be somewhere in his 60s, definitely, because he was a year ahead of me in the Methodist Boys High School. And it says here, my name even entered the paper. It says Jimmy Disumond Ranta's passing on his Facebook page. And this is what, a circulated message amongst the activists says that Tony has gone home to rest. After a long medical battle for about 24 months, he fought a good fight. Yes, Tony had about 4 or 5 strokes. He was always on the up.
Tell me about Extra Life.
He was always on the up. He even fought worse than that. But he was always on the up. He kept having a positive mind. He repackaged himself, and I'm proud of him. He was a member of the federal government's committee, technical committee on Niger Delta, and he was also the executive secretary. I didn't even know that. Of PANDEF, the PAN Niger Delta Forum. Was Tony the Cynthia White who used to write those releases those days in the days of the activists? He's the only one who can tell, and he has gone to rest.
Penwriter.
May his soul rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. I'm on YouTube now, taking a few comments. Ladi Bakare says Uncle Jimmy's right. The Oba of Benin doesn't set eye on his first son, the Crown Prince. Ahmad Kainde Olasukomi, it is clear that traditional institutions are dying due to money and wealth. Q. Sang, a song has confirmed it. This song is in Yoruba. It says Ifa Tofitalaka Joba and Ifa Goma Agbe. Please subtitle for me in English.
I know what it says, that if Ifa chooses a poor man as king, that means there will be no money flowing all the way down. But this system has been compromised.
Yeah, that's what it says.
It's been compromised. I saw one story here that the Senate is talking about appointments into the federal government. But you see these things happening. We spoke about it yesterday. See what is going to end up happening to our government and judiciary and whatever. when he's now the son of this and the uncle of that. We are making our sons commissioners. We are doing this. All kinds of nonsense things are happening daily. We sit back. We don't say anything. When the consequences then come, these traditionalists, they are partly responsible for what has happened. Because something tells me if they followed the process to the T, if they consulted the gods, they wouldn't be having a king who would turn against them. It doesn't happen that way.
Mm.
So this is a lesson. This is a lesson. Look at some of our abbas. Some of our abbas are wearing jeans, t-shirts in public, throwing parties, doing all kinds of things.
In fact, I was shocked myself.
What is it? Some of our abbas come, they want to visit you at home. When did it become practice, for example, for an abba to make so much noise with this and that in a plane? When did it become all that?
To even come and greet you at home. Do abbas come to greet people at home?
That they do these days. At home, you know, the dignity itself is almost gone.
It's gone.
With due respect, when it comes to these things, I quickly remove the greatest abba that I respect in Yoruba land. Yawujale. Kabiyezio. Those are the abbas. They are lucky. You know, the institute of abbaship is being turned into a circus. It's being turned into all kinds of things.
Mm. If you're wondering what the quarrel is between the Oluwo and the traditionalists, just summarily, that the Oluwo insists that celebrating deities belittles traditional rulers, that they should only worship God.
Well, that is... I know some religious people will say yes, said no.
But that's not the traditional belief.
It's not the traditional beliefs.
It is not if you want to do,
some people will see it. I can imagine some pastors on Sunday seeing him that yes, it is.
But he's not a Christian now, he's a Muslim. He's a Muslim.
You remember this
Oba
man?
Abdul Rashid,
this same man also said one time that he was a sheikh.
He's a Muslim.
They let us leave it. There is something there.
Let's see this one. I get it. With 49% foreign ownership, Nigeria Air start operations April 2022. A lot of my colleagues this morning were not impressed. But I mean, Nigeria is taking a 5% stake ownership.
Neither am I.
Really?
Neither am I. And because of this, I'm going to bring my friend. On his behalf, I will agree to come next week. My friend, Captain Jaja. I'm going to bring him here. Captain Mila Jaja, I'm going to bring him here next week. We'll sit down and look at the issues. What I don't know about aviation, what I do know is that we have a wrong attitude to invest. We've tried it with Virgin before. There was a time we gave over the management of Nigeria Airways way back then to KLM. One of my friends, Fred Aihomu, back in the day, were the young boys that KLM wanted to train. He was in his 20s when they sent him. They trained them, they did everything. What spoilt it? Politics. What kind of politics? Nepotism. Even if the government owns 1%, you will find on that 1%, they will fill the place up with unqualified people. Corrupt practices, you know, in the terms of supply and everything. I think Nigeria should forget about having
a national carrier.
Yes, if you can't have a national carrier, you can't even look at the airport. The airport is a mess. You can't even go to the toilet.
That
one. The airport is dark, it's dingy. It's dingy. Stella Adua renovated. This government renovated. Go there.
What I wonder is if they don't have, what do they call these people that decorate their houses? The lighting is so poor. I can't figure it out. It's so dark.
Gatwick Airport is owned by Nigerian. Ogunlesi.
So
what you should do, which we will not do, is privatize the airport and give it to bodies that know how to run these things. But if we decide to privatize, it will go to a top APC member.
Well, I personally think that the government can even do it. I mean, it's not rocket science.
If you try to privatize, it will go to an APC member. You understand? For as long as we have these habits, I was joking the other day. One of the aspirants that we can see in the horizon. Let me drop that joke. Let me drop it. I'll tell it one of these days. About how I think that if this gentleman becomes president, he'll want to equate himself with Dangote. As Dangote has a refinery, he probably also lays his hands on one of the refineries, either in water. You know, for as long as we are into this acquisition, into this acquisitive nature of believing that anything that belongs to the public belongs to us as individuals. Look at what my friend did in Ondo State now. I'm still enraged. I'm more enraged because he put his own son on the line, appointing him DG, the most lucrative position. You put your son there. For as long as we have things like that, Nigeria Airways cannot work. Any foreign airline, whatever. Let's leave the issue. It's not compulsory. Some countries don't have a national airline.
And there's nothing has happened to them.
Let me ask. I'm sorry, this is naive. I'm just being naive. Does the United States of America have a national airline?
No, there's American Airlines, but I'm not certain.
Does it belong to the government?
I'm not certain. Give me a minute.
Don't worry. When Captain comes next week, I'm agreeing on his behalf. When he comes next week, maybe Tuesday, we will look at that issue.
Yeah, this is it. American Airlines.
It's owned by who?
Let me see. CEO is Joe Parker, founder Avco. So I'm not certain. It's not clear if it's owned by the US.
Not even Delta. I don't even think even Delta. We don't have to have a national. What we can also do, I had thought that we could make Arik a national airline, but that one has almost collapsed virtually. This is a bit controversial. Let's just be patient. Someday, some Nigerian will set up a private airline, and we can give it that appellation and call it our own national airline. Mm. But for now, I don't think it's necessary.
Which is what I assume happened with this American airline thing. All right, we need to go now. We can take a last story, but thank you all for joining. Let me take a few comments from Facebook. Kenny Adeniji, thank you, Wemima. What are you thanking me for? Traditions and cultures are changing, yeah, and they'll keep on changing. Brilliant angle to the issue. Chidi Ebere, Kaliso says, if I recognize Dolapo. What's that? Oh, Dol. You're funny. Nelson Ada, good morning, everyone. Lagos State government had... No. You can't make allegations like that and expect me to read on radio. Emmanuel Tricks is asking why you have not condemned the Punch and the media that published the report when it has not been officially released. The entire world are already castigating and passing verdicts on the government. So the media is a problem, not Lai Mohammed. I wish I had enough time to give you
very quickly, two wrongs don't make a right. So that's no excuse for what... And his choice of language yesterday was awful.
And in quick response to you, the media talked about what is in public domain without taking a position. Maybe analysts will take position, but for the Minister of Information, that's what the conversation is about. But we need to go. The news is coming up shortly. After that, let's talk about the report and the speech by the minister when he says parents of people who were killed at the toll gate should show their faces, otherwise they're not worthy to be called parents. I'm going to ask you if they should show face or not. Join me at 8 o'clock.
The Obunge Yellow Awoof giveaway. The jollificate with extra 500% bonus anytime when you recharge with 100.
99.3 Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.